This is Delta Affairs Weekly. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur. Earlier this week, a group gathered in Bethel to talk with the community on the region's heroin and opioid epidemic. The group included the FBI, the U.S. Attorney's Office, local and state law enforcement, and local health officials. They met with high school students during the day and the community in the evening. At both events, they screened a documentary on heroin and opioid addiction and then held a discussion on the topic. They took questions from the audience, and KYUK broadcast the community event live from City Hall. Today, we're airing some segments from that broadcast. Some of these segments have been edited for length. We're going to jump in just partway through the discussion.
Hi, my name is Rose Dominic. And afraid and ashamed as I am, I have come to try and help our community as a family member of someone who has an addiction. I really experienced so much emotion watching the video and thought about how much anger and hurt and shame and all of that I still have to process. And part of what prolonged that was keeping all of this a secret. And that's the worst thing we can do, all of us, is to keep this a secret. It dwells on being hidden. And we really had to go out and seek help. So we got our own counselors. And part of the process in dealing with this most effectively is for our family to come together, because this was really tearing us apart. It was just tearing us apart, and it was oftentimes easier to go and follow that path, and constantly reminding ourselves that this family member is not a bad person. I knew this person to be a wonderful person, and I had to constantly remind myself that it's the addiction, it's the behavior that's causing so much hurt, so much pain, grief, anger, all of this. So lots and lots of work with the counselor, with the programs that I'm involved in to separate the behavior and focus on the person that is loved. And that's something I'm grateful that we have. So if anybody has any questions about how it affected us, what kinds of things we do, we're available. So thank you, and thank you for coming, and thank you for talking with me.
Thank you.
My name is Helen.
Okay.
Thank you for coming. One of the problems we have is in the villages, there's not enough people to encourage people who are addicted to get treatment. They get, their family members will shun them and get mad at them for bringing it out in the open, and that could be really hard in the village, and even here in Bethel too. My question is, how can we help people who aren't willing to admit they have a problem, and here it's really hard for heroin addiction people to admit, and that would be my biggest concern. And that's Diana.
So I would just say, to add to what you said, is to not point fingers, to not shame and guilt and add to all of what they're already feeling, but to educate and to let them know that you're there for them and what the resources are. What each and every one of us can do is learn what are those resources, so that when you do have a family member, like she's explaining, that you know what to say and where to send them for this help. So you've heard the different treatment options, YKHC, Family Clinic, and other people in town who are available for this service. And I think the biggest thing is talking about it, saying something, telling someone that you know that they're struggling, because you won't know that you're helping them later. You might say, you know what, I know you're struggling, I'm here for you when you need it. And 6 months down the road, they're ready. You're going to be who they go to. So just remembering that part. My name is Terry Forst. I'm a licensed professional counselor at the Bethel Family Clinic. The first thing I'll talk about is what I provide as a counselor. Is the first one is for people who are wanting to get better if they're addicted, or if they're beginning to use substances and want to prevent addiction, is I will provide assessments, determine a level of care that is appropriate for that person, and then find a treatment placement for them that is appropriate to help them get better, okay? When they return, once they've completed, I will provide. And then there's the other 93% of people who are addicted who don't think they need help, and I am here to help their families as well. So intervention type services, or just helping families learn boundaries or how they can keep themselves safe and keep their families safe while someone is suffering from addiction. So that's my place. Thank you.
Rhonda Sargent, my comment would be how to get it out of the medicine cabinets when you are done with it, if you've successfully weaned off of the pain medications. So what do we do with it? Because I don't want to flush it down the toilet and get it in the river or put, you know, get it somewhere else different. So
this is Jerry Evan. The state troopers have a take back program where once or twice a year we welcome anybody with extra medication they have, or what they found, and they bring to our office here in Bethel, and that's how we dispose of the medication.
So is there a way that we could make that more publicly known, or do it more than once or twice a year?
You can either come to us, or we can come to you, and we can pick up and dispose of the extra medication.
If you don't want to wait for that take back time, you can grind up the medications into coffee grounds, kitty litter, something like that, and then be able to discard it into the trash.
Although, having said that, I did want to say that your concern about throwing it into the water system is a real one, and absolutely that is not the way to go. So please don't put it in the water system. Yes, ma'am.
Hello. My name is Ms. Coffey. Often the fear of something is worse than the actual something, you know. And so you get hooked on this medication, or you get hooked on heroin, and the fear of withdrawal, not that it isn't bad enough on its own, but the fear of it is paralyzing. Why do we not have a methadone or a methadose detox program in this city? People want to be clean. We don't want to be addicts. And yet you're forcing us to white knuckle through or try and wean ourselves. You ever give an addict a bottle of pills and ask them to wean themselves? It's not going to happen. We need medical, strict medical intervention along with counseling. Can you take some of the fear and the pain out of the detox, and let's see if these people can do it, because nobody wants to grow up to be an addict.
Hi, I'm Dr. Elizabeth Roll. I'm one of the family practice doctors here, and I've been working with outpatient clinics, has been working closely actually with our behavioral health department at YKHC to work on some type of a Suboxone treatment program, as that can be a way to kind of help people either transition away from illegal drugs and slowly wean down and hopefully get themselves clean. We've been working on a task force for several months now. We're hoping to have our first few patients in November. We're right now, Dr. Flickener and I will be the main prescribers, and probably Dr. Hodges as well. What our plan is right now, our ideal treatment plan would be actually a six to eight week residential stay at our brand new PATC that, as we all know, will be opening soon, and then transitioning to an intensive outpatient therapy program, which is approximately 9 hours a week for several months, and then from then transitioning to a little step-down unit or a outpatient program without quite so many hours. You know, there's lots of different ways to go at this to help yourselves recover and to help us all, help our family members improve. Suboxone has been one of the ways. It's actually a medication that both decreases the high you get from narcotic as well as giving them a tiny bit of narcotic so they have less withdrawal symptoms or no withdrawal symptoms. So it is a time when you or whoever is addicted, it's a time for that addict to heal, to learn how to psychologically deal with this longing, while at the same time they're not experiencing all of those withdrawal side effects. So that is a possibility that's moving forward, hopefully in November. We're going to start the program pretty small. We have been able to get some additional funding for a case manager, for another clinician. We're hoping perhaps to have some evening hours as well for counseling, as it's really hard for people to do it during the day. But we're going to start small. But it'll be available starting in November. If you're interested, please call YKHC and try to get an assessment with our behavioral health department. We're taking a waiting list now. Our first priority will be pregnant folks, and our second priority will be anyone who's interested in quitting.
My name is Martha Larson, and I'm going to ask a question. If these painkillers are so addictive, why are they prescribing them?
That is a great question. We do use these when there's an appropriate, legitimate pain. It does work to manage that pain, but as we all know, it's dangerous, and if it's not used appropriately or at the appropriate dose, it can lead to addiction or overdose. So that's one thing that we work together as a medical team to try to make sure that when we are treating the patients, we are treating with as low a dose as possible for as short a time as possible to get the patient through that pain and then wean them off the medication so they're no longer using that. But unfortunately, it does have a use in the medical field. It does work to help manage pain, but it comes along with this huge risk of abuse and overdose. So something that we constantly work together to try to manage and make sure that our main priority is patient safety. We want to make sure the patient is safe and manage their pain appropriately.
I'd like to ask a question to the troopers from questions I get from the public. Why is it so hard for people to arrest dealers?
Okay, basically investigating these type of drug cases involves a lot of time. It's more intense than investigating a simple DUI case where you spend 2 hours investigating a DWI case and then that's it. With these type of drug cases, we have to identify the people that are actually dealing. We have to find means of getting all the information we need to maybe apply for a search warrant. With the types of calls that we get here in Bethel, a lot of them are anonymous calls on our tip line. And there's so much weight we can put with those types of tips because they're calling anonymously. We cannot use their name in our report, as well as I can't go before the judge and say, hey, I got this tip. This is what I want a search warrant. We can't do that. Anyone who calls and requests, yeah, use me as a witness. No, that's the type of information we can use. We can take them before the judge, or I can take their name before the judge and basically prove that caller reliable and trustworthy before the judge. And with that information they supply us, I have to corroborate it with the other information I have about whoever they're reporting. And that's why any tips we get is important for us. We can compile all that and use that later, maybe when somebody calls and say, hey, I want to be able to testify. We can use that person's information along with all the information we got. Could be from some surveillance work we did or some other means of information we've received by other callers maybe, or from what we've seen in the past. It's not just a simple, hey, this guy's drug dealing, why don't you go bust him? Okay, let's do that. Let's go bust him right now with the information I just got. Drug dealer, drug dealing at home. I go to the house. I talk to the guy. And he say, pound sand, you're not coming in. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pound sand because I have no authority at that point to go into that house and continue the investigation because of the information I got. It lacked credibility. I didn't know the person. The person who's making this tip, I don't know if he's doing that to get a friend into trouble or some other person into trouble. That's something I have to avoid, and we have to respect the people's right to privacy. I mean, we need that in this world, right to privacy. And I can't just go over there and start infringing people's privacy based on an anonymous caller. That's why we need people willing to testify. When they witness something, we want them to testify so we can use that information against the person that they're reporting. It's not just, hey, I'm an anonymous caller, this is what I want, this is what they're doing, go forth and conquer. No, it's not like that. These type of investigations take a long time. It's time consuming, it takes manpower. It could take 2, 3, 4 months maybe. One operation I've done in the past, it took me almost a year. I mean, this is when we had 3 investigators and a clerk. Due to some issues, we're down to staffing of just myself and another investigator where we cover Bethel and the whole 56 villages around us. So I wish we can just concentrate on certain efforts day in, day out for a certain amount of time, but we can't do that. We have other issues that we need to deal with. Other villages we have to deal with, not just Bethel, but the whole YK Delta. I mean, it takes a lot of time and manpower. And with the community support, maybe our job will be a little bit easier.
My name is Bruce, and I was curious, where's the heroin coming from?
The majority of the heroin that the United States is seeing now is coming out of Mexico. There's thousands of vehicles, both cars, trucks, that cross the border daily. And it's a very, you can't stop every car. You can't search every car. It's almost physically impossible to do that. And the drug cartels that are in Mexico now are realizing the profitability of heroin. And they're starting to push more heroin than they are cocaine across the border. And then especially with this area, what you would sell and get $20 for, say in Los Angeles, gangs can bring the product up here, and for the same amount that would they would get $20 for in LA, they can get $100-$120 up here in this part of the country. So it's more profitable. They can sell smaller amounts and make more money up here. But currently, the majority of the heroin we see is coming out of Mexico.
Hi, my name is Kathy Lupice. I'm a relatively new transplant to Bethel. And I was wondering if anyone has done any kind of planning about Narcan.
Sure, I can add to that. So the pharmacy does have that medication available. Our initial plan is that any family member, friend, who thinks that they have someone who may be at risk for overdose, they can go to any provider and request. It's going to be prescription only at this point, which does cause a little bit of issue, but until it is fully rolled out, in Anchorage, you can actually go up to a pharmacy and get it essentially over the counter for that use. But that's absolutely what we want to have available, is that any family member or friend would be able to administer this. We can do education with it. The formulation that we currently have, there are different types. One is a nasal spray that's very easy for anyone who doesn't know how to administer any medications. It's just a nasal spray. So definitely something that will save lives if someone who's in the home as a family member or friend of someone who's at risk of overdose has that medication available and can immediately administer that, that would save lives.
We currently have Narcan in all of the village clinics at this point. Right now it's the injectable version, but we are actually moving to move the nasal Narcan to all of the village clinics so they will have it. And again, at this point, again, we're a publicly funded organization, so we don't give out at this point any free over-the-counter medications, but that may be something in the future that we take a look at depending on what's going on and what our board of directors directs us to do. But at this time, again, as Mike has pointed out, anyone who is interested in getting Narcan to have at home for a family member simply needs to ask. And I think at this point you could even go to the pharmacy and they can call somebody and we can write a prescription. It doesn't have to be a long, prolonged, get an appointment, which as we all know is sometimes like gold or at YKHC,
right.
And move from there. I wanted to comment just really briefly. Again, I'm Dr. Roll, and I am a member along with many other providers, members of our pain committee, the YKHC Controlled Substance Agreement or pain committee. We are working hard at YKHC to work on decreasing the amount of narcotics we give to our patients, and we're following national guidelines to do that. We're really working on not giving people hundreds of Percocet or hundreds of hydrocodone or lots and lots of tramadol. We are encouraging people to seek behavioral health help. We have our impact counselors who work directly out of outpatient clinic. We also have a full behavioral health staff to help assist people with some of the issues with addiction. We also have physical therapy available. We currently have an impact, actually, support and depression group that is meeting on Tuesday nights in our main conference room. We encourage people to do meditation, to do exercise. There's lots of ways we can all deal with our chronic pain. We don't always have to take narcotics.
My name is Danielle Craven. I'm a Bethel resident. I've grown up here. I've seen the addiction. What's that communication line? You know, do we still call PD when Want's machine comes on at 2 a.m. when we notice that there's unusual traffic in a certain area? Do we still call at 4:30 p.m. on a Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon when we notice all the addicts coming over to buy? You know, do we just keep calling?
Hi, my name is Andre Sham, the Chief of Police for the City of Bethel. That is a great question. Yes, continue calling us. Continue calling us because it does several things. Jerry was talking about maintaining a track record via either anonymous or you want to report yourself, every information on any drug or alcohol trafficking in Bethel, we share with other law enforcement, which is a Want Unit. I worked Want Unit decades ago. That information is also shared statewide and is also shared nationally. Yes, please continue to call. Regardless, and the police department, you know, we have an advantage of being in Bethel, is we're a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week operation. The Want Unit, the true investigator assigned, there are only two investigators for the whole Delta and Bethel. You will get an answering machine. There are certain things we have to follow according to law regarding anonymity. If somebody wants to be anonymous and never wants their name used, never give your name then. The problem is a person calls the police department and says, "Hi, I'm John Doe, and I want to remain anonymous." As soon as you say your name, we cannot keep it anonymous. We could initially put it anonymous on a report, but once someone is charged or someone makes a Freedom of Information request, we can't hide that information. That has to go out. So if you want to remain anonymous, don't say your name. Two is try to find an anonymous number to call, like there's a tip line, because when you call the police department, we are a 911 center. We have a phone number and address, things like that. If your number is blocked, that's fine. The number's not going to be listed. But as soon as you say your name, it's recorded. So you can't be anonymous that way. Unless certain things have changed, there is a way that you could partially be anonymous. And what I'm saying by partially is initially, if you know someone's a drug dealer, you're witnessing the acts. You're witnessing multiple acts. Make a phone call to the Want Unit. They could actually assign you a number. What Jerry was talking about is for confidential informants or citizens that are credible sources of information. If they don't know who you are, you could have 10 calls. It could be another drug dealer competing, trying to eliminate the competition. It could be maybe someone trying to get someone in trouble. But if you are a credible source of information, they'll assign you, and the state will go over that if someone wants to call. They'll assign you a confidential number. So they say, this is this person, this number here. This number has given 10, 20 really good information that led to seizures, that led to arrests. Eventually, when it does go to court, you're not going to be anonymous because that information, any defendant has a right, because we are in America, to be face their accuser. So that will eventually come up. But you're partially anonymous unto that point. So that information is great, and but people's got to realize, talk about tough love. A lot of times your own family members or relatives. You have to have that tough love. Unfortunately, the job of law enforcement, we are given multiple different roles, from the enforcement side, to the counselor side, to the referee side sometimes. It's hard to juggle all those jobs. When it comes to drugs and stuff like that, we know there are drugs in here. We know there's heroin. Well, there's a lot more drugs out here. Unfortunately, we are reactive. The way we deal with it is because of the thefts involved, because of the assaults involved, because of people trying to get money and stealing to get there. And when we talk to the family of that, tough love, press charges. And that's something you go to a judge or district attorney after you press charges, say, hey, hold this over my loved one. If they don't get help, they don't get treatment, maybe jail is their viable option. But you need to practice tough love. The problem we get is we have felony cases where the victim says, you know, I would love to press charges. I don't want my friends to go to jail, so I want to drop the whole case. So it's a continued, you know, people hear about the continued circle of violence, domestic violence. It's the same thing for drug abuse. It continues unless you want to practice that tough love.
You just heard segments from a community discussion on heroin and opioid addiction that occurred at Bethel City Hall earlier this week. The full discussion is 3 times the length of what we just aired. You can listen to that full discussion on KYUK.org. This is Delta Affairs Weekly. I'm Anna Rose MacArthur.